years of research into teaching and learning have uncovered some basic fundamental principles of how all people learn. This will just be a quick overview of how I've tried to bridge that research with my practice and what I'm calling a pedagogical framework. But first, an excursion into the world of photography. The photographic technique of framing involves finding something that draws the eye, that sits around an object to draw the viewer's attention to that thing. Here's an example. The lady is the object of this picture. The eye is naturally drawn to see her there in the center as she's framed by the windows of the subway car. This is a strong example of framing, as we see this man walking through the arches, and those arches form a frame, and the eye is inexplicably drawn towards the center of the picture where we see the man. In this case, a more subtle frame, and yet nonetheless it's clear that the horse is the object of the picture because the tree, which we don't really look at, it kind of sits in the foreground. The eye is really drawn towards the horse, provides a frame to see the horse. What does this have to do with teaching and learning? Just bear with me. First, the three pedagogical principles, primarily drawn from this book, How People Learn. It was written in, I believe it was 1999 and then updated again in 2000. Studying years and years of research, they pulled out three fundamental principles of how people learn. As an outgrowth of that book, another one was written called How Students Learn, specifically in the areas of history, mathematics, and science. These books have been absolutely seminal in forming my thinking and providing the pedagogical framework around which I structure all the teaching that I've done. Typically, when kids come to school, they think of the world as flat. They have no reason to think of it as round, and they come to school and we tell them the world is round. What studies have shown is that once kids leave school and they're asked to explain what they've learned, well, the world is round, and then their conception of the world is that it's a giant pancake. That's an interesting preconception that kids bring to them when they're in the classroom, and teachers need to know that, because the first principle out of the book is that students' errors and misconceptions based on previous learning are the first thing that teachers have to connect with when they're trying to teach new content. In this example, one drawn from mathematics, kids are often taught that multiplying is repeated addition. Multiplying is not repeated addition, although that's a good place to start. And they think that the answer to any question when they multiply has to be bigger than any of the numbers they started off with. Given a problem like this, fractions where kids find that really hard, they see the 2, the 3, and they know they have to have an answer that's bigger than either of them. If we know that that's the preconception that kids bring to the classroom, then that can inform our teaching in constructive ways. The second principle out of the book is that understanding requires not only factual knowledge, knowledge of basic facts, but an understanding of the basic ideas or big ideas of the discipline, whatever the discipline is that happens to be that you're teaching. Because knowledge isn't actually built in hierarchies, knowledge is actually built in networks. For example, take something simple like 3/4. Seems like a pretty simple idea. But the number 3/4 can be represented in a variety of ways. All of these are equivalent ways to write 3/4. It might have meant money, 75%. It could be the ratio 3 to 4, 0.75, or another way to write the fraction 3/4. Now, even this extends beyond that, because 3/4, well, I could have been saying the money. 3 coins, 3 25-cent coins, which is 75 cents. See, all these ideas are connected one to the other. I might have been talking about a piece of cake, but I have 3/4 of a cake, and it's implicit in that idea that each of those quarters is the same size, that each piece of cake has to be equivalent in size. But that's not always true with all ratios. For example, the ratio of 3 red Smarties to 4 blue Smarties. I've got 7 Smarties in total, and those Smarties don't all have to be the same size for my ratio of 3 red to 4 blue to be true. These implicit assumptions make learning this kind of material difficult for kids, and we as teachers make assumptions because we understand from the context that these things are clear. It could be 75% off everything. That all of these ideas actually live in a network, all one related to the other. And the underlying assumptions that we make as experienced learners is that we take from the surrounding context what the meaning of each of these numbers is. And yet each one's related to the other. That network has to be made explicit. That network of concepts has to be made explicit to students, no matter what fundamental idea you're trying to get across to the students. In this case, the idea, the big idea, is really one of proportion. The third principle out of the book is that learning's facilitated through the use of metacognitive strategies. The degree to which we can get kids to think about what they're learning as they're learning it will deepen that learning. And they found that this made only moderate increases for high-performing students, but for low-performing students, the use of metacognitive strategies made for dramatic increases in their performance. Error analysis is a great example of this kind of thing. You probably caught that one really quick. But as you look at this picture and try to find the error, look how you're thinking about it. Look how you're paying attention to certain details, finding what's the same, what looks exactly identical. Where is the difference? What is the thing that stands out one different from the other? And if you pause to reflect, even as you're thinking about this now, you'll notice that you've deepened your own thought as you look for the error in just something simple, like a picture of three mountains. So that's the framework. That's the framing. Those are the ideas that sit around any pedagogical approach that you want to take in class. Anytime you want to structure or design a learning experience for students, these three principles connect with kids' preconceptions. Learning should be networked. Ideas are networked. We need to understand basic facts, but also the big ideas around which knowledge is structured. And engaging kids in metacognition as they're learning, this provides the framework for how we teach. There's one last thing not to exclude in any of this, and that's community. It's alluded to in that book, but not listed as one of the fundamental principles, but community is a pretty big deal because the degree to which we can get kids working with each other and collaborating and helping each other in their learn, which is what genuine learning looks like, is the degree to which they can deepen and accelerate their own learning. This provides a wonderful example of exactly what I'm talking about. Why do geese fly in this V shape? It seems quite distinctive to see the Canadian geese flying in that pattern. It happens in the fall around October, and then again in the month of March is when the geese leave in October and return in March. Why the V pattern? Because the flapping of the wings of the lead goose actually provides a little lift for the geese just behind them. And that's true for each goose behind every other goose. And so they're able to fly greater distance. Of course, this puts undue pressure on the lead goose. So throughout the flight, the geese are constantly shifting positions and rotating their spot in the V-shaped flight pattern so that different geese take the lead at different times. And by working together, the geese are able to fly for much greater distances than any of them would be able to fly on their own. And together, they accomplish great things, which is the very distant migration patterns of the Canada geese. Of course, over short distances, if everybody goes their own way, well, yeah, you could have some success. And when they all land, that's what it looks like. And they all kind of come down, and each one chooses their own pattern, and the V is broken up. And occasionally, you know, you need to do that. But by and large, for the most part, it's through that collaboration that great things become possible. And that's part of that framework that I talked about. It's just like we learned in kindergarten. When you go out into the world, hold hands and stick together.